Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the dark and dreary streets of Chicago on a rainy but somewhat warm November day. I look to my right, and lo and behold, it's a great one. Doug Tonis, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. I appreciate the weather forecast for anyone who's listening to this show and didn't know it was raining. So that's good information to add. And yeah, feels very much like our Bulls after the last couple games. A strong start and then a couple losses to Brooklyn and the Jazz maybe deflated some early hopes.
No doubt. I mean, we've really progressed in this show. I think we started out where I'd spent like good 5 minutes describing the physical dimensions of the bus. Now I just go right to the weather. I don't know where I'm going to next, but I'd encourage everyone to send some suggestions as we progress along this great journey known as the BRB. DT, first of all, thank you for the tickets last night. In case anyone is wondering, the great one Doug Tonis invited me to the game last night, and I was able to bring my son and also his teammate to enjoy the great fun at the United Center. I just wish the result was a little bit better. I guess big picture, it's a good result when you get down to it. I want a top 10 pick in this upcoming draft. But your initial thoughts after seven games, the Bulls are 3-4. Love to hear what you think about this team, where we're going. Right now, if the season ended today, are you ready? Hold on to your seats, Doug. We'd be the sixth seed. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
That's how good the East
the polls.
Is this year.
Stop the polls.
Yeah, exactly. Unbelievable. So we're in the top six right now, but I think based on what we saw last night, we're trending in a downward direction. I think we'll continue to do so. What say you?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think we were a little lucky in some of the wins. I mean, they count. So if we're able to string together more wins, that's great. But it just kind of felt like in that Orlando game that Orlando just suddenly couldn't, hit a shot to save their lives. And I think I saw somewhere, this is a few days old, a few games old, maybe a week old, but it was something like when the Bulls had some wins and the record looked a teeny bit better than it does today. I want to say that like opponents were shooting 21% from three in the fourth against them or something like that. So, a couple of their wins, I think were really due to collapses by the opponent, particularly in the second half, particularly not shooting the ball well and felt like variance more than the Bulls playing like a highly successful defense. I want to say it was like their defensive rating was at one point, it was like seventh when they were, maybe it was like 3-2. And I don't know what it is today, but we look at this team and we don't think they're a good defensive team. Right. And so that number, felt more like it was likely to do with luck than it did with, their ability level. Yeah. Just looked it up. They're 17th in defensive rating right now. And their net rating is 21st out of 30. And, I think that feels more in line with where we expect them to be. So, I'm not real high on, the team this year. I don't think anything we've seen changes my opinion, despite maybe a little bit better than expected record.
Yeah, I am high, though, on two players that are kind of like, have been discussed as potential trade pieces in terms of Vucevic and Zach LaVine. I think both those players have played exceptionally well for the most part in these first seven games, which is exciting to me because, hey, let's get the trade machine going. These two guys need to be, sent out for some assets of varying degrees, and hopefully that will help us further tank and get in the top 10 in the next draft. Do you concur with that assessment?
Yeah, I mean, especially Vooch, and I've said this many, many times across Twitter, Real GM, and other places. I'm the biggest Vooch hater on the planet, but he's been unbelievable. Right. I mean, he's been unbelievable.
No doubt.
On offense this year. His defense has been poor, but I mean, his offense has been so great. It makes up for it. Like right now, if you're going to stop the polls, this would be perhaps his best offensive season in his career, like depending on how you measure it. And you could measure that in different ways. But it's certainly by far the most efficient offensive season he's ever had. And his point totals per minute are in line with the best he's ever had. It's not quite the peak, but it's like maybe the second best he's had in terms of per minute points per game. So, I mean, like this is probably the best offensive year he's had. Now, we're seven games in. Do I think that's going to continue? You never know, but I would say probably not. He's shooting 48.5% from three. He's a 34% career guy. that doesn't seem like something that's going to be very sustainable. He's only had 1 year at exactly 40%. Every other year has been below. So, you know, feels like he's playing a little bit over his head, you know, nearly 55% from the field. That would also be a career high if it were to be maintained. And so those are just things you don't expect expect it to stick around in the way they have. So we'll see. But he's playing absolutely fantastic ball. And if that gets us to a point where he can be traded and he's able to keep it up through the trade deadline, or, you know, even December 15th, when you might see a few trades, you know, start to trickle in, you know, that would be a huge positive, you know, for the team. Because, I mean, I don't think we think Vooch is a piece going forward, even if he continues to play well. You know, I doubt he'd play this well. But even if he plays well, I don't think we view him as a piece forward at 34 years of age. So, yeah, getting him off the roster would be fantastic. Zach, same boat. You know, Zach has missed the last game with injury, and, you know, that's always a concern with Zach. Obviously, a shoulder is a little different than the lower body injury, which are the ones you get really nervous about. Turnovers, maybe he hit that one game where I think he had a gazillion of them, but otherwise he's played really well, but turnovers have probably been his biggest problem, and, you know, maybe some poor decision-making in the clutch. But again, near 50% from the field, great three-point shooting, good volume. Yeah, I think maybe a market emerges for him as well. So, yeah, that would be good if we can move on from those guys and kind of move into a full reset, which is, I think, what probably most Bulls fans that are diehards think is the right thing to do.
Yeah, I thought Vooch was untradeable due to the extra year on his contract, and he's proven me wrong. If he continues at this rate, I'm absolutely certain he could be traded.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially to a team out west or even a team out east. I mean, they're still Embiid lurking. I know he hasn't played a game yet, but you need a guy like Vooch is fine to throw against, you know, the two best centers in each conference, and throw him a little bit on, make him work a little bit on Embiid, and then he can also make Jokic work a little bit out in the West. So I think he'd absolutely be tradable if he continues on this rate, and I'm beyond excited about that. I think if anyone is arguing not to trade him, I think you're absolutely insane. Like, this is a gift, and he's done really well, and to his credit, he's obviously put in a lot of work, and he's shooting the three at a high rate, but we shouldn't forget how horrible he was last year and for large periods of his time here in Chicago. And, yeah, let's move on and let's, you know, really tank this thing, because, you know, he's playing at a solid enough level right now that he's going to win games. Zach LaVine's going to win games. I mean, Zach's basically shooting, you know, 50, 45, 80, which is stellar and expected for his uber greatness in terms of offensive efficiency. Still has those issues on the defensive side of the ball, but, you know, Kobe White, between him, Kobe, Vucevic, Kobe, and Zach are all over averaging over 20 points per game. So pretty interesting to see that on one team. But Kobe, I still prefer that he's in the long-term plans for this team. Let's move on to Josh Giddey, who has been a flashpoint, I'd say, for debate on across Bulls X and other platforms. You know, he's just a weird player to me. Like, he does a lot of things well, and I find him to be I think he's been able to get downhill and in the paint much better than expected, and that's to his credit, and he's gotten to the line a little bit more than I expected. But, you know, trouble still persists there, in my opinion. He doesn't provide any spacing. His plus-minus has been terrible. What say you on Josh Giddey so far after seven games?
Yeah, I'm not worried about the plus-minus so much. It's really just the starting lineup has been destroyed. I mean, Vooch's plus-minus is terrible, too. And we just talked about how well he's playing. So I don't think it's fair to just, like, throw that number out of context just towards Giddey and not towards Zach or Vooch, you just raved about. You know, and whatever, like, plus minus itself is a completely worthless statistic when you're looking at very small sample sizes, yet people love to quote it every game as if it means something on, like, even a 10-game basis. It doesn't mean anything. It's like the studies around it say, like, the regressed version of plus minus needs, like, a year and a half of data to have validity. So it's just people use those numbers, like, way out of context. And anyway, so enough on that. I agree with you. I mean, Giddey's clearly a weird player. He is shooting 44% from three this year, so that hasn't been a problem this year. He's at 5.3 free throw attempts per game, which is more than per 36 minutes, which is more than double his previous best of 2.2. So he is getting to the line, and if he could continue to do both of those things, he'd be a really good player. I mean, it's just flat out, he'd be a really good player. I don't think either of us believe he can keep the shot up. He's got really poor motion on his shot. He leans forward. He doesn't get much arc. I mean, like, there's a lot about it that just doesn't seem like it's capable of being very consistent. The free throw thing, I think, maybe has a greater chance of being consistent. So we'll hope for the best there. But I don't know that I feel all that differently about him than I did from our last kind of podcast, which is he's got to be an efficient offensive player, or there's just really not a great spot for him on the team at a high salary level. Like, he's got to be either a very efficient offensive player, or he's going to have to make like Patrick Williams money. And we'll see, you know, what happens. He's still not all that efficient of an offensive player, you know, today, only 53% true shooting percentage, despite the increase in some of those other areas we talked about.
Well, his defense is terrible. Like, I agree with you, everything you said on his offensive side of the ball. If he continues at these rates, there is value to what he brings. But again, you're going to have to walk a tightrope. You're going to have to build a supporting cast around him that is so difficult to do. You're going to have rim protectors. You're going to have excellent perimeter defenders. It's just, and I always come back to this, why didn't he succeed in Oklahoma City? They were the best three-point shooting team in the league. They had incredible rim defense. They were a great defensive team, and it didn't work. Look, I don't know what's going to take for it to work with Josh Giddey. You know, I will say I do like a lot of what he brings. He's a good passer. He's a good ball handler, and he's really impressed me in terms of attacking the rim. But on the defensive end, I think he's been absolutely awful. And it's reflected in the fact that the Bulls are dead last in the league in points in the paint and at the rim. I mean, that's partly on Vooch, but a lot of it has to do with the turnstile that he is. He's horrible at navigating screens on the perimeter, and the team in general is bad at that. I don't just want to blame it all on Giddey. Yeah, I'm going to stay positive with him. I absolutely am against paying him 30 or more, you know, but hopefully if you can get him at a decent number, I think he's worth $20 million. I think he's optimized to me coming off the bench, leading a unit off the bench. It's kind of defensive centric around him and have him just kind of run and push it. I love how he does push the ball, and he's got great vision, but I suspect he's going to want a starting spot. I mean, it's clear he already demanded a trade from Oklahoma City. And I think a little bit untalked about or not discussed about last night's game, with 4 minutes left before Williams, maybe it was five. I don't remember the exact minute when Patrick Williams fouled out of that game. But up until that point, Giddey was on the bench. He was not in the game to close out that game. He did come in when Williams fouled out. But I was curious to see what would have happened if he would have returned back into that game, you know, just due to his defensive problems, defensive issues. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I don't think you can really make a judgment right now either way, but I'd be very hesitant to pay him over $30 million. I don't think it's going to be conducive to winning.
Well, there's no point in making a judgment now because an extension is not going to happen. Like, we're past the deadline. So it's going to be in the summer, and we're going to have a lot more data in the summer. So we could argue back and forth now, and it doesn't really matter because we can't do anything now. And when we can do something, we'll have whatever the complete set of data is at that point. Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you said. Value-wise, defense-wise, we're on the same page. If I were to guess right now, I'd say it's most likely to me that I'm going to think he's a, you know, $15-ish million player in the summer because the deficiencies are just going to be too hard to work around. But that might not be true. You know, we'll just see what happens. If he shoots well from three all year, I might feel differently about that. If he draws fouls all year, I might feel differently about that. You know, if his defense picks up at some point, like if the team gets together with their scheme or whatever, yeah, maybe you'd feel differently about that. But right now, it's hard to feel confident in any of those things making major leaps between now and the end of the season. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
Io has struggled from three, but everything outside of that, he's been awesome on both ends of the court. I thought he had an excellent game last night with 20-plus, played great. So I expect Io to, you know, turn it around a little bit at the three-point line. He's been really poor there, but that's the only aspect of his game I've been really disappointed with. Kobe, has been overall awesome. Let's talk a little bit about Jalen Smith. I know you're a big fan. Give your thoughts on Jalen.
Yeah, I think he's played fantastic. I mean, we talked about him a lot at the game. You know, he just looks like he can defend. You know, he contests a lot of shots. He gets up. He's makes some big blocks. You know, just seems to do a pretty good job staying in front of his guy. On offense, he's shooting the three really well. Just seems like this is a guy who needs more minutes. You know, he's shooting at decent volume. you know, for the amount of time he's playing, you know, he's at 50%, and like per 36 minutes, he's actually putting up 9.5 shots from three. You know, so he's just not playing very many minutes, but you know, it's like if you projected out what he's doing over a larger time sample and he was able to keep this up, I mean, he'd be like a superstar. You know, he's actually averaging the most points per minute of anyone who's playing and has the highest PER of anyone on the team playing. So, you know, what he's giving us per minute is fantastic right now. And I think, like I said, to me defensively, he actually seems like one of the better guys on the team right now. I'm surprised we're not seeing a little bit of like double big lineup. I thought especially against Utah, when you had Vooch out there and the Jazz are running out combinations of Collins, Kaminsky, and Kessler, you know, I thought Vooch and Smith would have been a great combo to play against any two of those guys. And two of those guys were pretty much always on the floor. And, you know, especially at the end when you kind of needed a lot of points, like Jalen Smith's been your best three-point shooter. Why would you not have him out there? And he was also maybe the most likely guy to be able to defend Collins. So I don't know exactly what we're doing there. You know, I tweeted about it, and Joe Cowley said Jalen Smith is out of shape and can't play more minutes because he's gassed. I don't know. That doesn't really seem to match the eye test to me. Like, maybe he is gassed, but like you couldn't let him rest and bring him back out. Like, I doubt when he was out, like, oh, he couldn't go 3 minutes at the end of that game. Like, that just doesn't seem to make sense. So we'll see what happens. And Joe Cowley also just like, it's like in love with Nikola Vucevic. So I think he doesn't want to credit anyone else when he could credit Vucevic. You know, find someone who loves you like Joe Cowley loves Nikola Vucevic, even though the guy's like, you know, soft as hell and can't defend.
Good luck with that. And is like, not going to happen.
Every single thing, yeah. Joe Cowley hates, but he just loves him some Vooch anyway, which is just like really wild because like Vooch and Zach are like just the same player at different positions. And like Joe Cowley like hates Zach LaVine with a passion and loves Vucevic with a passion, which is just super weird to me. Yeah, is what it is.
Patrick Williams now. Let's get into him a little bit. Another flash point, another player that people have a lot of opinions on.
Is he a flash point at this point? I mean, like, he sucked. He's sucked this year. Like, no one – I mean, maybe Chris is out there thinking he's still good right now. Just give him time. But, like, I haven't seen anyone say anything good about Patrick Williams this year. I think you and I have even turned into Patrick Williams defenders. Like, the talk on him has been so bad. We're just like, look, he's not this bad a shooter. You know, he's going to come around. I pointed out in preseason, I think you agreed with me, you know, he looks like he's overweight now compared to how he looked in the past. And, you know, he couldn't work out for like 6 months because of his injury. And so, yeah, probably makes sense that he, you know, is a little deconditioned, you know, like not entirely of his own fault. He was still coming into camp, like not fully at 100% yet. So, I'm not like psyched with what Patrick Williams is doing out there by any stretch, but I don't think he's as bad as he's playing right now. And I think people should just calm down a little bit. Like, I think he should get back to being, you know, that the player he was, which was, you know, pretty efficient, but on low volume and a solid man defender that gets lost off the ball. Like, I don't think he's going to be any different than that this year, but he's not even giving you that right now.
Amen. What do you think Patrick Williams is shooting? If you had a guess, Doug, on 2-point shots so far this season,
I don't know, 30%,
29%.
Yeah, not bad.
Yep. The only guy in the team with a lower one is Buzelis at 28.6. I mean, that's horrible. And you know, in defense of Patrick, I think what he's up to 34.4 from three. Like, you know, he started out horrifically. He'll end up at 40%. He's a good 3-point shooter, good catch and shoot 3-point shooter. Can it open threes? And that's a role that there's value in that. And he'll always be on a roster probably for the next 10 years because he can hit threes at a high level. As far as his defense goes, I think it's been, for the most part, an absolute joke this year so far. I don't think I've ever seen a player more overrated in terms of defensive skill and efficiency. Like, dude, he was awful against the Nets and he was awful last night. Two of the dumbest fouls you'll see where he's just, you know, lazy slap. You know, he fouled out of the game with six fouls. And I think you agreed with me on a few of those fouls where a guy was driving by, just sticks his hand in, slaps the guy in the arm. They were fouls.
And then complains about it.
What are you doing?
Like, yeah, what are you doing? You're always going to get called for the foul.
Collins just, every time he was on Collins would just had his way with him. And in fairness, John Collins is good. He's not great. You know, I understand he's getting the hardest defensive assignment every game. I understand that you know, he's usually getting matched up against the better offensive players. But, dude, if you're supposed to be that good defensively, at least show something. He's been terrible. Absolutely terrible on that end of the court. That's where I've been most disappointed with him. I don't think he'll be this bad all year. I don't think he'll be this in terms of, you know, over the season. But, like, gosh, if it hasn't already hit you, this guy is not going to be he's just not him. Is that the phrase the youngsters use?
Yeah.
Like he's a fine role player. Let's just be happy with that. This contract was a joke. You should have never had a fifth-year player, you know, option. Man, oh man, this kind of deal really, I mean, out of the many questionable moves this front office made, this is right up there, dude. And I don't care what he does in December. I don't care. Like, he'll probably have a December where he averages 14, you know, six rebounds. And I mean, we're celebrating him getting 6-7 rebounds a game. Yeah. He's a terrible rebounder. I saw it on display again yesterday. Guys, man, oh man.
I don't mind the contract so much. Like, I don't think it's great. And I don't like the process of the contract that they signed him rather than letting him go to free agency and then forcing the market to set his value. So the process I'm not a fan of. But in the end, the overall number, it's like not hard for me to stretch the imagination and figure out where Patrick Williams is worth $18 million a year in the long run. You know, like it's just not. And so, like, I don't think this is going to be one of those death knell contracts, assuming he doesn't have major injuries and, you know, whatever, misses like half the games or something. But if he's healthy, I think the contract, maybe it ends up being a few million overpaid. Like, maybe he's worth like 10. And yeah, like that, I just don't think that's like such a big deal, you know, to be honest. So
I'm not losing sleep over it either. I'm just saying, like, hey, you could have really let him go to restricted.
You could have done better. Like, it's a dumb process. It's a dumb process.
Yes, you could have saved $4 million, Doug, or let's say $3 million a year, $2 million a year. That's extra money that down the road is going to be important. It's like, that's my point, is like, can you play hardball for once?
No. No, we can't do that.
That you drafted? Can you play hardball for once with a guy you drafted? You know, like, let's just move on. I get nauseous talking about it. Buzelis. So there's a lot of talk, a lot of anger at Billy Donovan for Matis Buzelis not playing more. His numbers so far this season are an abomination in what he has put up. He's shooting 16.7% from the field, hasn't made a three-point shot, and I understand he hasn't played a lot. But your thoughts on Matis so far and whether or not the decision to send him to the G League was a good one. What say you?
I mean, I don't understand the decision to send him to the G League. My guess is that they only brought him back from the G League because Zach LaVine wasn't going to play. And they just figured, well, we might as well keep him on the roster. Like, we, you know, because the G League didn't play any games.
Sure.
Like, their season hadn't started yet. So there's like no reason to send him there to do one practice. So I assume he'll be going back to the G League soon. And, you know, we were talking, and I think maybe you were mostly talking. We're watching him warm up, and he looked like just goofing around the entire time, looked totally unserious. Like, you know, he just may need a little bit of a wake-up call. And whatever, he's young, like, whatever. I don't know what I was doing at 19, but probably wasn't ready to take on the responsibility of being, like, a professional basketball player making millions of dollars. So, you know, that's maybe fair at his age, but, you know, it's like all draft picks are his age, right? And some of them come in ready to try to take your heart, and Matis so far, like, just visibly watching him, doesn't seem like such a guy. Some great highlight reel stuff in summer league, but, like, I've been arguing with people. They're like, well, he played good in summer league. I'm like, no, he didn't. He had good highlights in summer league. You know, he showed some interesting skills in summer league, but, like, there's not a single thing Matis can do that would get him on the floor. He's not a good enough defender to be on the floor. He's not a good enough at anything on offense to be on the floor. He's got some interesting foundational pieces, but I think there's a very high probability he's a complete bust, and he needs to get a wake-up call really fast because he has a whole ton of work to do. I mean, this is a guy right now who is worse than every single player on the roster, every single one. Like, there's not a player on this roster that I think Matis Buzelis is better than right now. And if that's the case, like, you better be working your ass off, not goofing around. And, you know, whatever. This is just a moment we saw in warm-ups. Doesn't mean anything. But, you know, he's got a long way to go. Like, when you're getting your ass kicked by the 15th man on the roster and you got to make big improvements to get to that level, you got a long way to go before you're going to be more than that, right? So he's got a long way
to go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I was kind of arguing back and forth on Twitter. Like, one of the guys on Mike, who's a great dude, said, quote unquote, imagine a team that won't make the playoffs but can't find minutes to develop their prized rookie. what a circus. And then my counter to that was, you know, sorry, but what exactly has Buzelis done to be considered prized outside of several nice dunks in the summer league? He was the 11th pick in a terrible draft. He's 15 or 20 pounds too light. Can't shoot or defend. Like, I think he could shatter his confidence by playing him 15 or 20. Can you talk a little bit into my dog starts barking?
Sure.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything you've said there. Like, he just needs to be better. And I think there's like a disservice. People kind of think like, oh, just play these guys. But like, there's other guys on the roster, and they want to play. They want to see success. And I think it's demoralizing to your team if a dude is clearly getting his butt kicked in practice and then you're playing him anyway. And so I think that's a factor here. I think that's a factor.
I'm going to get a little bit into the pregame because I know a lot of people made jokes, and including you, about my focus on pregame. But like, I do feel like when it comes down to it, like I've always preached this to the kids I've coached and in general, like how you should approach the game. Every action you take on the court, like, it sends a message. So like, every minute you're out there, whether it's practice, game, pregame warmups, you're communicating something. You're communicating, are you serious about competing? Are you treating this like a job, or is this like a casual game at the local park? So every moment that you have on an NBA court is an opportunity to show how much this matters to you. Are you focused? Are you working to get better? Are you making the most of your time out there? Physically and mentally, are you preparing to give it everything? So I know, you know, you might have thought I was a little too harsh last night. That pregame was an embarrassment. I had zero doubts about Vooch. Watch him in pregame. He was locked in, focused, took every shot, drill seriously, sprinting, got himself mentally ready for that game. And some of the other players at varying degrees, right? But what do we have for Modest? We had him doing, messing around like it was All-Star Weekend, throwing the ball up, doing some dunk that he would never try in a real game. You know, it's impressive that he's able to do it, but that's not the point. Like, we need you at the three-point line, practicing shots that you're actually going to take in the game. I saw him shoot 10 three-point shots. He made two with no one guarding him. If you can't shoot in practice, what do you think is going to happen in the game? His approach was way too loose. Someone has to reach out to him and let him know that just because he was picked high in the draft, even not even that high in a crappy draft, it doesn't. You haven't arrived. You're not entitled to anything. You know, there's fine if you want to smile, you want to joke around, that's fine. You can do that a little bit. But I want to see real effort in the warm-ups. And what I saw yesterday was a total embarrassment. It was one of the worst examples I've ever seen. And I've been studying this for like 25 years. I saw Patrick Williams. I was impressed with his pregame. I was impressed with Vooch. Every single minute on the court mattered to those guys getting ready for the game. Not for Buzelis. And somebody's better talk to him. So I'll get off my high horse here and let you comment on it. But it really pissed me off. Yeah. And I don't feel he's entitled to any minute.
I agree he's not entitled to any minutes. He's got to earn some because of everyone else in the roster. The one thing, and I'll say, I think a better way to state your point that will make people feel you're not so crazy is not to say you're impressed with Vooch's warm-up or Patrick Williams' warm-up. Those guys just went out there and they did the things you would expect them to do. You know, they took their shots, they went through their motions, they like just did the things. Like we were talking about Dalen Terry as a comparison, right? Dalen Terry is kind of a fringe player trying to make his finest spot, whatever. You know, he was like serious, taking corner threes, just shooting them over and over again. And you're right, like Modest was just, he was just goofing around the whole time. Like he was just like a kid excited to be there. And, you know, whatever, he's a lifelong Bulls fan. Maybe he is a little bit of a kid excited to be there right now. Like, I don't think that's like a death knell or anything, but I agree that someone needs to tell him, like, look, you got to take this stuff seriously. Like, you think, like, this is all great, you got a few years, but, like, you aren't doing, you know, so well. So I would be, I'm not, like, concerned about it, but I agree with you, it wasn't a good look, like, if that makes sense. Like I think there's plenty of reason to think like this is a thing that can easily blow over. It could have been just due to this game, but like you just got sent to the G League. So it's like that should already be kind of like a wake up call, you know?
Yeah.
Like so I
agree 100%. Agree 100%. And then my other counter, too, is that all these people are so angry. He should be gifted 15 to 20 minutes. There's other young players on this team. There's Kobe, Io. There's Josh Giddey, Julian Phillips, Dalen Terry. All these guys are pretty young. That is the worst message to send, is just to give him minutes when he's done nothing. Like, I don't think if he was killing it in practice, I don't think that Billy Donovan would keep him on the bench and not play him.
No, clearly not.
I think exactly what we see in the game is exactly what he's doing in practice.
He's getting beat out by Dalen Terry and Julian Phillips. You know, I argue with a lot of people. I'm like, like the fact I'm not worried that like, oh, he can't get past, like, you know, our mutual buddy Marquez is like, well, he just came into a stacked team. I'm like, he's not better than anyone on this team right now. Like, Julian Phillips and Dalen Terry are like fringe NBA players fighting for their life who might not be in the league in 5 years or might be on like minimum contracts. Like these are not guys who like project into being meaningful players, and neither of them are playing that well either. And like, so if you can't get minutes over those guys, it's because they're kicking your ass. Like, these are guys who probably are not in the top eight rotation of most teams in the league, and they're kicking his ass. Like, if Modest was, like, close to those guys, we'd be playing him, right? Like, we're more invested in Modest than those guys, but that's not what's happening. So, you know, I think, I mean, who knows? We don't see it, right? But, like, if you're going to walk through it logically, that seems like the most likely scenario as to what is happening.
The player who's getting his minutes is Julian Phillips. He's 21 years old. I think he's more deserving of it. Like, he's way better defensively. He's probably a better shooter at this point. Like, I'm not saying that Bouzelis is going to suck. I'm not saying he's a bust. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there's nothing wrong in my viewpoint of him going to the G League and working, getting serious about working on the major deficiencies in his game. So, you know, I know some people say, well, it's better that he plays and that he... And that, you know, the team sucks worse. Not really. Like, you could also lose this kid, dude. Like, confidence is I don't care how confident he acts like he is. He didn't look confident last night. He passed up in a wide open three yesterday in that game we were at. He's losing confidence. So, like, let him go back to work on his game, and I think in the long run he'll be fine. And I do think he'll be a rotation player eventually. As a superstar, no, I don't. I don't see it. But maybe I'm wrong.
I think there's a good chance he's a bust, like a very high chance. I like the pick. Like, when we took him, I'm like, oh, yeah. And I saw him in summer league. I'm like, you can see a lot of foundation there. But he has no single thing that puts him on the floor. And, like, it's kind of one of these things where it's like it's all going to come together and he's going to be really good, or it's not going to come together and he's going to be worthless. Like, he doesn't have any foundational skill where you're just like, oh, well, even if he doesn't develop this, he can lean on this. And I think that's like a place where it's like he either, if he gets a good shot, then all of a sudden his ball handling becomes a huge plus. But his ball handling right now is like worthless. You can't do anything with it. And if he became a good shooter, then all of a sudden it's like, well, now he's a good shooter and he has ball handling and then can finish and like all the stuff's going to happen. But like as it stands now, it's like there's really nothing. And so I think it's like this kind of like this very boom bust feeling I have with him. Like I have a hard time seeing how he's like just a decent player. Like, I think he's either going to be like pretty good, like starting caliber player, or he's just not going to really offer you anything.
I really am trying hard to like. Like, I felt like I remember Dalen Terry was somewhat similar to Modest, not as bad 2 years ago, but a lot of goofing around, shooting air balls in pregame, and then yesterday I thought it was a completely different guy, you know, who was working on his three-point shot, trying to get ready for the game. Then he goes in a game, and he was hitting a bunch of threes in pregame. And then he goes in the game, gets a couple wide-open looks, almost takes down the backboard at one. I mean, just guy, he just doesn't have the shooting. He's shooting now, obviously, on not a ton of attempts. He's 37%, hasn't hit a three yet. I really want to like Dalen Terry because I think he does some things well. He competes at a high level. He's a good defender. I do feel he's a good defender. He's got nice vision as a passer. I don't know, Doug. Is he going to make it? If you had to put the money on now, is he going to be a rotation player 2 years from now?
No, I mean, he's like Shaq Harrison, you know, whatever. Like,
was that one of Mark's favorite guys? And Wayne Felton, I think, used to wax poetic about.
I mean, like, it's just his shots just still look so broken. And it's not the fact that he's missing. It's just, like, it looks broken. And if you're just a defender in this league and you can't shoot, I just you just don't have that much room to go. Like, there's just like Yeah, I mean, he might. I think he may be a fringe like rotation guy, a specialist for some team. You know, like, hey, I need you just to D up for 10 minutes here because we're running out the bench and, you know, like, some situational thing. But it's hard to see him being a, you know, like a 20-minute piece anywhere if he can't learn to shoot. And it's just really hard to see him learning to shoot from where he is now, given his age.
All right, DT, on that note, let's bring it in, because unfortunately I got a hard stop coming up here. But I did want to get your thoughts on the coming week. Like, when Zach comes back, I mean, it's really hard to predict with this team, right? I mean, they beat some good teams so far. Obviously, they took care of Memphis. They beat – who else have they beat that's good? Orlando's a good team they beat. But I think we are headed for – yeah,
they beat Milwaukee.
My prediction of 25 wins.
You know, Milwaukee should be a decent team. You know.
Although they're not right now.
No.
No debating that. They're 1-7.
Well, their next games this week are Dallas, Minnesota, Atlanta, and then Cleveland. If we go out and so, like, I don't know, maybe we beat Cleveland. Like, I mean, Atlanta. Like, that's like maybe. Like, it certainly wouldn't surprise me if we were 0-4 over that stretch. It doesn't get a whole lot better within road games against the Knicks and Cavs after that. So it could get pretty ugly pretty fast.
5 out of 6 losses here. That's what I say.
Yeah, that seems about right. They'll luck into one somehow. They'll have like a 45% shooting night one of the games.
And I think that's good. I think I'm fine with it as long as I keep on seeing Kobe and Io playing well and progressing as players, as long as I see, you know, Giddy keep on doing some good things on the offensive end. I don't think he's ever going to be great defensively. I'm fine with all that. Just want to see Patrick turn around and fun bad, as our buddy, our mutual friend, Big Dave likes to say. I'm all good with that.
Fun bad. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's fine. I do like the fact that we're at least fast paced. The games are just more exciting to watch, even though the result's always not what you want. The games are more exciting to watch to me than they've been the past couple of years.
Absolutely. For the next show, I do want to do our first annual massive mailbag bus pickup. So please send your questions to seeredfred@gmail.com. That's seeredfred@gmail.com. Whatever questions you have, I know we've already received a few that I haven't gone. I have a few that I'll send to you before the next show, DT. But let's just dedicate the next show to kind of update on where we're at and then a series of mailbag questions. What say you?
Fantastic. Let's roll.
All right, my man. DT, I love you. Thanks again for those great tickets and the merch. I thought it was awesome. The kids can't stop talking about it. You're always in my thoughts, and you're the best, DT. Thanks a lot, my man.
Well, you're welcome. And,
You're not always in my thoughts. Occasionally, I can't lie. Occasionally, but not always.
All right, this is the weirdest ending to a show we've ever had. So I'm going to say go Bulls, and go Bulls.
Go Bulls. Just say go Bulls. All right. Go Bulls.
Go Bulls.
Take it easy, TD. All right, man. Take it easy, brother. Bye-bye.